A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sim. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 143. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and today we are talking about Danger Mouse. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, Danger Mouse, a very long-running, very successful ITV cartoon series that ran, all told, from 1981 to 1992. There were 161 episodes, Brian, apparently, which vary in length. We'll talk about the lengths of them later on when we get to talking about some of the DVD releases. But it's a fun show. It's one of our sillier, more humorous diversions here on British Invaders.
Yes, absolutely. This is definitely in the classic tradition of children's cartoons. Animated show with lots of spy themes and science fiction themes and plenty of parody and references to all sorts of other shows. And this is actually the first time we're doing an animated series for a discussion on British Invaders.
Yeah, that's right. First time we've done sort of traditional sort of cell animation, I guess. Although we will talk a little bit about some other animated shows from the same creators later on, and that does have some relevance to British Invaders as well, doesn't it?
Indeed.
So let's get to the setup of Danger Mouse. Danger Mouse is the world's greatest secret agent. He is a cartoon white mouse in his signature white uniform with the DM logo on the chest, and he wears an eye patch. And he is the sort of hero of our piece, Brian.
Yes, that's right. And he is always assigned to various missions by Colonel K, who sends him messages and has conversations through a video communicator on the wall. And Danger Mouse will fly off in a flying car, the Mark III, or drive off sometimes in the car.
And he'll head off round the world in his flying car to defeat various menaces to world peace and so on. Various strange, villainous creations, often set against him by his arch enemy, Baron Greenback. Another rather fun character that we'll come to a bit more in a moment.
Yes, absolutely. Speaking of characters, we should go through the list here of the major ones. Danger Mouse himself was voiced by David Jason. He is the hero, the secret agent. He apparently speaks 34 languages, some of them alien, and is an expert in the martial art of Kung Moggy. And he is our central character. He is assisted by Penfold, voiced by British comic actor Terry Scott. Penfold is the very loyal and very bumbling and not too bright assistant to the secret agent.
Yes, that's right. I think it's described in the opening episode as codenamed Jigsaw, because when there's trouble, he goes to pieces.
Yes, that's right.
As you've said, we've got Colonel K, voiced by the actor Edward Kelsey. He is their boss. He briefs them on their mission via a telescreen at the start of every episode. And he's a walrus character, I believe, with his sort of big moustache. So he's supposed to be like a walrus, and he sends them off on these various missions around the world. And again, we've got their nemesis, Baron Greenback, also voiced by Edward Kelsey. He's portrayed as a sort of wheezing toad-like character sitting in his control chair and all the time stroking his white furry pet caterpillar, a strange little creature called Nero. And the fact that he's stroking this white creature and sitting in his control chair will sort of give you the clue that he's based on a sort of more famous character, isn't he, Brian?
Yes, he's definitely sort of based on Blofeld from the Bond movies and the Bond books.
And as we'll go along, Danger Mouse does have lots of little nods to other shows and other films and other bits of genre like that. Baron Greenback also has his own bumbling assistant. He has a character called Stiletto, who is a crow and does most of Baron Greenback's dirty work for him, but he's another sort of incompetent bumbler. And he was voiced by Brian Truman, who's one of the show creators that we'll talk about in a moment.
It's quite an array of bizarre characters and all sorts of others showing up from time to time.
Yeah, it's all good stuff.
The first episode was called Rogue Robots, and it was broadcast in September 1981. A brief narration introduces us to Danger Mouse and his base in a pillar box, or if you like, a post box or a mailbox in Baker Street, London. So our hero based on Baker Street, there's another hint there for Sherlock Holmes reference.
Absolutely. And as you say, we find Danger Mouse relaxing in his base. And we often see him there doing bizarre things like one finger press-ups or strange jumping jack exercises to keep himself in top condition. And in this particular opening episode, his sort of piece is interrupted when Penfold opens the door to a couple of killer robots. And then soon they have a message from Colonel K about these robots being sent to various top figures around the world. And Danger Mouse and Penfold have to fly off in the car and investigate. And that's when they encounter another huge robot called the Big Tom robot, which we, of course, find is operated by Greenback and Stiletto. And we sort of, I guess we've set the tone already for what's going to be the first of many clashes like this between Danger Mouse, Penfold, and Greenback and Stiletto, Brian.
Yes, absolutely. And we have these mechanical versions of Tom and Jerry as sort of another parody there. And we get these opening and closing narrations as a feature that goes on throughout the series. And the narrator is David Jason, who also does the voice of Danger Mouse.
Yes, and those narrations are quite simply brilliant. I don't know who wrote them, whether it's Brian Truman or whether David Jason had a hand in them himself. But certainly one of the things about watching Danger Mouse as an adult is the rather brilliant opening and closing narrations by David Jason.
They are very sharp, and the style of them changes throughout the series, and at some points you end up with the narrator almost as more of a character and interjecting into the middle of things, and other times you have the narrator doing a recap or a tune in next time, and they do have some quite witty little things in there, which are really quite fun.
Okay, and that first episode, Rogue Robots, is at the moment up on YouTube. You can watch it there. It's about 10 minutes long, I believe, that first one, Brian.
Right, okay. They were at the beginning doing these 10-minute standalone, 10 or 11-minute standalone stories.
Teeters on the brink of destruction. Chaos and terror stalk the streets, and the call goes out to the last hope for civilization, to the hero of so many victories over the powers of darkness, to the world's greatest secret agent, Danger Mouse.
And his faithful assistant, Penfold.
And his faithful assistant, Penfold. I was going to say that.
Penfold, I bet that's Colonel K to tell us that chaos and terror are stalking the streets.
Ah, GM, good show. Look here, chaos and terror are stalking the streets. Here's the problem. Got this over the satellite network from our old enemy, Baron Silas Greenback.
Getting into our production notes, Brian Cosgrove and Mark Hall met at Manchester College of Art and Design, and they started their first company, which was something called Stop Frame Productions, they did together.
That's right. They had some initial success with children's television animation. Some of the titles we'll mention, The Magic Ball, Captain Noah and His Floating Zoo, and in particular, I believe, a stop-motion version of Noddy, which was quite successful. But then in terms of sort of cell animation, they did the opening graphics for a very successful children's show called Rainbow. And I'm sure, you know, British listeners probably of a certain age will be familiar with those opening titles to the show Rainbow. And that was a big hit for them, that first bit of animation.
That's right. The success of the Rainbow animation led Thames Television to form Cosgrove Hall in 1976. So this was Brian Cosgrove and Mark Hall. And they had some early success with a surreal show called Charlton and the Wheelies back in 1976.
And if you've seen that, that is a very strange show. And they'd go on after Danger Mouse to have some success in the future with another stop motion, and in particular their adaptation of The Wind in the Willows. But there's also their link with a British Invaders show that we've talked about in the past, because when we talked about the Doctor Who missing episodes, you might remember that the second Doctor story, The Invasion, which is a Cybermen story, Cosgrove Hall actually animated two of the missing episodes for that series. Is that a 6-episode storyline, Brian?
It was actually an 8-episode story, and 6 of them exist. There are 2 that are missing.
Right.
And they did animation for the 2 that were missing. The soundtracks of those exist in complete form, as they do for all Doctor Who episodes. So they did animation to the existing soundtracks. This was in about 2006, so roughly 30 years after they started.
Right, okay. And they produced those rather impressive and sort of atmospheric black and white animation for those 2 missing episodes, which we watched at the time. And we thought they were really rather good, I think.
Yes, I believe they also did some animated stories with the 10th Doctor as well.
Oh, right, okay. So going right back now to 1980 and 1981, Cosgrove and Hall came up with this idea of doing a spoof science fiction story based in part on James Bond, but also in particular a television show called Danger Man. And again, there's another little British Invaders connection there, because as you may remember, Danger Man was a Patrick McGoohan spy television series that may have partly inspired his character in The Prisoner.
Yes, the sci-fi aspect of this was sort of going off of the 1960s sort of spy-fi genre of science fiction and spy stuff sort of mingling together a little bit. Danger Mouse was written by Brian Truman and Mike Harding. Mike Harding was a well-known comic folk singer, and he wrote the theme song for Danger Mouse, which is very catchy and became quite well-known, I think.
That's right, yes. Another sort of vital ingredient was the theme music. And as you say, Mike Harding, still, doing his folk shows on the radio here in the UK, was very well known at the time as for his comic songs. And here he is producing and not only writing the theme soon, but also, as you say, writing some of the stories with Brian Truman. And as I've said, Brian Truman also did the voice of Stiletto in the show as well. So it was sort of a hands-on team. There was lots of involvement from the writers and the animators and from the musicians. So they produced a pilot episode, which you can now watch on the various DVD releases that Brian and I have been watching. But interestingly, it lacked the vital ingredients of the right voices. So the pilot episode they produced didn't have David Jason and Terry Scott. In fact, I think I'm pretty sure that Danger Mouse was voiced by the actor William Franklin, who, again, familiar to British viewers for his presence on advertisements over the years, but also in certain spy shows. And he was a more sort of traditional sort of leading man voice for Danger Mouse, and didn't quite bring the comic inflections that we're going to get when Jason and Scott take on the roles.
They did a version of the same story, essentially, of that same episode as one of the regular episodes with the regular cast a few episodes into the first season of Danger Mouse.
Yes, it's called The Lost Chord or something like that, I believe, Brian. It's the one about the missing bagpipes.
Yes, that's right. And the version that they actually broadcast is quite a bit tighter and stronger than that original pilot. But you could see in the original pilot how they were bringing the different pieces into play there.
Okay, so they're all pulling it together. The episode's mainly then directed by Brian Cosgrove and produced by his partner at the animation studio of Mark Hall. lots of people involved.
Yeah, they had quite a large team of animators, and they were at times churning out a lot of episodes, and had, you know, quite long seasons. About 2,000 drawings were used for a 10-minute episode, and it would be about 2 weeks to produce one, so it was quite an extensive thing.
Yeah, quite a lot of work in producing one of these episodes. But of course, with traditional sort of hand-drawn animation of this sort, the animators will often use various time-saving tricks. So as with any children's animated series, you'll see repeated backgrounds, you'll see scenes with the lights off, with just the character's eyes blinking at you. And of course, they also occasionally voyage to somewhere like the North Pole so that they can have mainly white backgrounds for the animated characters. So there are those sort of tricks that we've become familiar with, I suppose, for children's animation, Brian.
Absolutely. The North Pole shows up in Danger Mouse quite a bit, as does this repeated moment of the lights going out. And of course, Danger Mouse has the eye patch, so you see one eye and then two eyes for Penfold. So that is sort of a moment that's like a strange signature image that shows up quite a number of times.
Yes, I guess if you're an animator and the script for that week's episode turns out to be at the North Pole, you can breathe a sigh of relief and reach for the white background.
Yes, indeed.
So this is a hugely popular show. The figures we've looked at suggest that at its peak, it was getting in the UK 21 million viewers. Incredibly popular with children, with students, with the children's parents. It was sort of, it was just a great show that was well known by everybody.
Yes, those are huge viewing figures to get in the UK for sure. And it was sold around the world and was quite popular in the US and elsewhere.
Okay, so having talked a little bit about the setup of the show and the production, let's talk about the availability and how you can watch some of these episodes. The DVD box set's slightly confusing because there have been several sets. The most recent and probably the definitive one here in Region 2 is a 30th anniversary DVD box set, which came out in 2011. It contains all the episodes in the correct broadcast order, also includes the unaired pilot that we've been talking about, and there's a few extra features on there, in particular interviews with Cosgrove and Hall about the creation of the show. Currently, that box set is available on Amazon here in the UK for between £28 to £30. It's also available to rent on Love Film, but there are on Amazon, if you look, there are several other DVD releases. In particular, there was a 25th anniversary edition, which I've been watching, which contains all the episodes. But in that case, they spliced some episodes together, and some of them appear slightly out of broadcast order. But there are other sets available when you go looking for it. I should also mention that the first series of Danger Mouse is available on iTunes, and you can pick up those 8 episodes for $6.99 currently. So here in Region 2, lots of ways to get hold of some of this.
That sounds great. That first series is the 10-minute episodes, so it's actually not all that much content, but it is very cool to have it available on iTunes.
Yes, and we are seeing this more and more now, that some of these shows are showing up on iTunes, which we didn't previously when we talked about some of the earlier shows on British Invaders.
Yes, absolutely. In Region 1, there have also been a few different releases, and releases that include just the first two series, or just series 3 and 4, and so on. There is a Region 1 release called The Complete Series, which was released in 2007, and I think this is the one that you want to get. It has all of the episodes in broadcast order. It lists it on the back cover as 89 episodes, and the reason for that is that the serialized episodes, there were a couple of seasons where the episodes would be 5-minute episodes, but grouped into 5-part serials, and they included those on this DVD set. Each serial would be spliced in as one long episode, but all of the opening and closing credits and all of the narrations, all of it was included in there. So it's listed as a different number of episodes, but it really does have everything in broadcast order. I followed along with that. It's running for about $53 on Amazon.com. You can find it cheaper used, and $80 on Amazon.ca. Now, I would recommend that 2007 release, because there are some earlier releases that do not include all of the episodes, and also that take those 5-episode serials and cut out the opening and closing narrations and just turn it into one 20-minute serial, so you lose about 5 minutes there, and you lose some good narrations in the opening and closing. So the 2007 version, I think, is definitely the one to get on Region 1. It does not include the interviews that you have on some of the Region 2 releases, but it does include a couple of minor extras, some different versions of the theme music, and a couple of episodes of a spin-off series that we will mention later on.
Okay, that does sound very comprehensive and worth getting in Region 1. You can, as I've said, watch a few episodes on YouTube. Obviously, they do tend to come and go a little bit, but they are up there at the moment, and we would certainly recommend watching one or two before listening to our next episode, perhaps, Brian.
Absolutely. I think if you can get it and play it, probably that 30th anniversary version from Region 2 is the set to buy. That's the 2011 set.
Okay, so I guess that brings us to the end of our first part of our discussion.
I think so. Next time, we will talk about some of our favorite episodes and some of the spoofs and parodies that are in here.
As ever, we'll also be talking about spin-offs, and we'll get to our reviews and our own personal recommendations about Danger Mouse.
Absolutely. There is a lot in this series, so there'll be lots for us to talk about next time. You can reach us at BritishInvaders@gmail.com, and you can find us at BritishInvaders.com. We are on the Geek Culture Network. You can find us at TheGeekCultureNetwork.com with some other podcasts there as well. We're also on Facebook, so if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you will find us there.
Splendid. And you'll also find us on streaming internet radio at TheVogNetwork.com, the voice of geeks. And as ever, welcome to all our Vogon listeners. And we also, if you go to the VogueNetwork.com forums, you'll find we have a forum there. So if you don't do the Facebook thing, come and find us there.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening. And this is Brian from Canada, signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. And until we get some more of Danger Mouse and Penfold, this is Eamon in England, also signing off.